one of the things that you have to remember is that your team member is not you, and you are not your team member. Meaning, you can't expect for your team member to have the same drive or have the same motivation as you have for your business, because that is not their business. They're just there to do their job. And it might be too much to ask them to care as much for your business. So it's a lot of expectation setting as well, I would say. So you can't really expect them to treat the business the way you treat your business, because it's not theirs and they're not you.
Welcome to Spill the Creativity Podcast, the podcast where we will be having conversations with other creatives that will inspire us, keep us encouraged, and push us to reach our own goals. This is the place where we will be acknowledging the hard truths, because while this path is fulfilling, the truth is there's no easy way to do things. It all takes hard work. We are going to be talking about the good and the bad about choosing a creative career. If you're looking for a cup of stimulation for creatives, a warm cup of tea in this otherwise bittersweet pursuit, then you're in the right place. So let's get that cup of tea and get on with the conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spill the Creativity Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about something that I usually get asked about. And I kind of find it funny that people still ask me about this, because to be honest, it wasn't only until quite recently where I also finally got the hang of this particular topic. And yeah, so today we are going to talk about hiring. We are going to talk about finally taking that step to outsource some of your tasks to team members. And I think it's safe to say that while I still have so much more to learn, I think that I'm slowly starting to understand this whole delegation thing. And in hindsight, when I look into the quote-unquote bad hires I've had in the past, I realize that majority of it really was my fault. Like, it wasn't just their fault. And I understand. I mean, most of us started this business and we kind of treated this business like our baby. And you know how it is, right? Like, you can't just choose any babysitter that you can entrust with your baby, with your kid. And it's the same thing for your business. It's a struggle to trust someone who can treat your baby with the same care that you provide for it. But eventually, if you want to grow, if you want to cater to more clients, or if there are some pivots that you want to do in your business, for sure you can't do things alone, unless, of course, if that is the business model that you're going for. But yeah, if you are planning to grow, if you plan to expand any part of your business, then at some point you're going to have to delegate some of the stuff that you're doing. We could only do so much. We only have two hands. We only have two feet. We have one brain. And imagine if that's multiplied by 10. So, like, so much more can be done if you finally delegate some of your stuff, right? And all that being said, in today's episode, I will share 5 things that I've learned on how I went from having hiring nightmares to finally working with a dream team. Okay, so the first one is, if you are swamped with work, like if you have so much stuff to do, if you are drowning in work, hiring a new team member is not the answer. Having a solid system is. So what I mean by this is, when you are in that particular stage of your business where you are doing so many things, where you could barely breathe, it's kind of like a struggle for you to have a break, or you're just really swamped with work. That is not the best time to hire a new team member, because you have to keep in mind that when you hire a team member, there is sort of like an adjustment period. And the length of that adjustment period usually depends on you as the business owner and the people that you hire. So in my case, the adjustment period of me and my team members usually is around 2 to 3 months. And that is a long time. And when I say adjustment period, it's usually that time where you kind of shadow your team member. You're kind of giving them tasks, but at the same time, you're also ensuring that the quality is at par with the kind of quality that you have in mind, and, you know, just making sure that they're doing it correctly, they're doing it your way. So when you hire a team member at the beginning of it, like at the early stages of it, a lot of the things that you're doing, is gonna get doubled. So you're not exactly gonna feel like the benefits of having a team member just yet, because you have to ease them in. You have to teach them the culture. You have to teach them like the vibe of your clients. You have to teach them how you do your ways. You have to kind of let them know how you think and like the process of the way you do things. And that's not something that you can just delegate in one day. And it's not something that your team member would understand in one day. Also, put yourself in their shoes, right? When you hire a new client, most of the time we ask for a 3-month minimum, because usually it takes us 3 months to like really get the hang of what the client wants or needs from us. So yeah, just think about it that way, that when you are swamped with work, the answer is not like hiring a team member immediately. So instead of hiring a new team member, what I would suggest that you do, and this is just for me, this is what worked for me, is you reflect on your current workload. And second is you reflect on your current system. When I was starting out and I tried to hire a VA, I did not know about this. So I thought that the moment I hire her, I would immediately unload a bunch of the things that I do. But that wasn't the case. When I onboarded her, I ended up doing triple the work because I had to onboard her. I had to let her be familiarized with my clients, with the way I do work. And I had to check every single thing that she was doing just to make sure that everything was going smoothly, or it was the way I wanted her to do it. And it was very frustrating for me, because why doesn't she get it, right? But then you have to remind yourself that your team member is not you. And that's something that happened to me. Like, so I hired this VA, right? And then I was so frustrated that instead of giving me more free time, it just robbed me off of more time. And eventually I had to let her go, because I was thinking like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm spending more money and I'm doing more work. But then I didn't realize that it's not going to be as smooth as you want it to be. And so what you can do instead is to look at your systems and look at your current workload. So why are you swamped in the first place? That's when you can really assess your current systems or your current processes. And as much as possible, you want to streamline that. You want to make it as seamless as possible in that stage in your business where there is only just one member, and that is you. So when you're still a solopreneur, I encourage you to invest on sitting down with your process, sitting down with your SOPs, and like try to streamline everything, because that is really going to help when you start onboarding a team member. Because when you onboard a team member, you can just show her or him the current system that you have. And it's kind of easy for them to follow the flow of the current system. And yeah, so that's kind of like what happened to me. So I hired VAs. It didn't work out. I had to let them go. And then I felt so bad because I just ended up doing more work and there was more expenses. But then that was the time when I learned ClickUp. So ClickUp is this project management tool that really helped me get my shit together. So if ClickUp is not your thing, maybe you're more familiar with Notion or Asana or Trello, then whatever floats your boat, then go with that particular tool. But for me, ClickUp was really a game changer, because at that early stage, ClickUp ended up being my VA of some sort. So I really sat down and I really tried to understand the project management tool, and I tried to automate as many things as I can. And then when I started to realize that I wanted to accept more clients and do more work, that was when I hired my first editor, who I'm still working with right now. When she onboarded, it wasn't perfect, of course. She was my first like legitimate hire, but it wasn't as chaotic as how I hired my first 2-3 VAs. Like, there was a system, there was a workflow, and I finally kind of understood that she is not me, I am not her, and therefore I have to be more patient. So yeah, that's the first tip. Now, the second one is, when you are finally ready to hire, or let's just say you finally sat down with yourself, you figured out the current workload, you streamlined your processes, you've finally gotten your SOPs together and all that stuff, and now you're ready to onboard a VA or an editor or any team member for that matter. Here is tip number two. Tip number two is to get to know your team members. This is very important for me because I realized that the vibe of a person, their attitude, their character is something that I really look at. Or it's something that really matters to me because as much as possible, I want to have a very light feeling when I work with these people. And you know, when you're kind of like not aligned, if the vibe does not seem to align, it's kind of difficult to have that kind of working relationship, I would say. So my tip number two would be to really get to know your members. And how that looked like for me was, so before, the way I would hire is I would just ask for a copy of their portfolio, a copy of their CV. I check out their work, I check out their experience. And if I think that they are experienced enough or that, you know, like they have the skills that I'm looking for, then I onboard them based on their skills. But then I realized that having a team member is so much more than just having somebody who is skilled. It's about somebody who is, my number one really is proactive. And then the second one is to have like a good attitude. And you know, those kinds of things that you cannot really find in a resume, things that you cannot really find in the portfolio. So how I did that is I sent out a questionnaire, like fun questions. I remembered like putting there, which one do you prefer, coffee or milk tea? Or are you a dessert or a junk food person? Are you a cat or a dog person? And the reason why I'm asking those questions is I want to kind of know them, know their personality outside of their skills. And I also really take the time to hop on a call with them because sometimes the things that you answer in a form translate very differently when you talk to somebody through a video call. So for me, personality is such a big deal. I think it also really depends on your values and, you know, the kind of culture that you want to build. So yeah, going back, like as I've mentioned earlier, like what I really want for the team is for everybody to be comfortable with each other. You know, like it won't feel like you're talking to a boss or you're talking to, you know, a coworker that you don't really like. So as much as possible, I want to keep the lightness. So I want everybody to be as, you know, like chill and calm and like very vibey. So tip number two is get to know your members and don't just look into their skills, but get to know their personality. So tip number three, and this is something that I talked about in tip number one. Tip number three is patience. And I know that you know that we need patience and it's so hard to do. It was so funny because I was doing an Instagram story in Instagram, obviously. And that was the time when I was putting together this episode and somebody messaged me and said that, how do you become patient? Or yeah, how do you exercise patience? And the context is that this person really wants to hire, but then what happens is when they delegate and this task is completed, they realize that it's not what they wanted. And even if they have relayed notes and have given pointers, the output is not the same as their output, and they just end up being frustrated. And, you know, in Tagalog, sasabihin na lang na, sige, itabi mo na yan. Ako na dyan. Yeah. And I totally get that because I also did that in my first few hires. Like, whenever they would give me an output and then I feel like I could still do it better. Instead of giving feedback, I would just tell them, you know what? This is fine. Just call it a day. I'll do the rest and we're all good. And then I just end up being frustrated and then it just doesn't end up working out. So I think this is something that we have to learn along the way. And to be honest, the patience that I have with my current team members is something that I also learned from my clients. There was this particular client that I have that I find it so difficult to understand what she wanted. But she was very patient to me in explaining to me how she wanted things. So whenever I have an output that she doesn't like, she doesn't say like, you know what, I'll just do it and then you just do whatever you want. She doesn't say that. what she does is she really gives me very specific pointers. And she would say something like, next time I prefer that you do it this way or you write it this way. And she would give examples. And that was when I realized, like, yeah, this is the way you should communicate with your team members. You have to be patient to let them know what you want, what your client wants, and how they can also achieve that output when they're doing it themselves. So obviously it took a while for me to get used to that, but it's something that you can learn and you also have to practice. So if you already have a team member and you're thinking of firing that team member because you feel like they just don't get it, then try to take a look. Are you giving enough instructions? Are you giving clear instructions? Do they really know what you want or what the client wants? I just realized that that client of mine was very, very patient with me. I feel like every single output I make for them, they would give me like very detailed feedback. And during that time, I felt like I sucked as a person. Like, oh my God, I did not do anything right. But then eventually I learned that they're doing that so that moving forward, I would understand how they want things to be edited, how they want things to be written, you know, those kinds of things. So it really takes time and it really takes practice. And of course, patience. In relation to patience, another thing that I also learned from one of the people here on Instagram, I forgot who, but she mentioned that one of the things that you have to remember is that your team member is not you and you are not your team member. Meaning, you can't expect for your team member to have the same drive or have the same motivation as you have for your business because that is not their business. They're just there to do their job. And it might be too much to ask them to care as much for your business. So it's a lot of expectation setting as well, I would say. So you can't really expect them to treat the business the way you treat your business because it's not theirs and they're not you and you're not them. But there's one thing that you can do. You can communicate and be patient with the way you communicate. And speaking of communicating, that's step number 4, communication. Number 3 and number 4, they really go hand in hand, but I wanted to separate communication because for me, it's very important. One of the things that I try so hard to do with my team members is we hyper-communicate. So I would rather you tell me everything that's going on than for me to be in the dark. So we put our tasks in ClickUp, right? And then there are deadlines. And what I really want is for them to tell me that they are not able to finish the task within the deadline ahead of time so that I could step in and do the job for them. Or I could ask somebody else to step in and do the job for them, as opposed to, you know, like they're way past the deadline and then I'm following up and then I just figure out that apparently they got sick. That's why they can't do it. It's not like I get mad or anything, but I would just appreciate it if, you know, like you could tell me ahead of time what's going on so that we can work on these things. So that's one of the things that I really value as well. And I think it's also one of the things that really helped with the dynamic of the team that I have now is we hyper-communicate. We let each other know that this one is taking much more time, or we let each other know that, okay, this client got sick, so we might have to work on the weekend. If you can't work on the weekend, let me know right away so we can look for somebody else who can step in for you, or I can step in for you, or something like that. So yeah, communication in that sense. And I think it also goes with communication, feedback. That's one of the skills that I've learned, is that feedback is very important. And I got this from Erica. Erica, if you're listening. So Erica runs a very big agency. And one of the things that I learned from her is at the end of the day, she gives feedback, or like her, I forget the term, but like the managers, I believe, give feedback to their team members every single day. And while I don't give feedback every single day, I try my best to give feedback whenever it's needed. So if, for example, something needs to be revised or if something needs to be improved, if something is great, I make sure that it is being communicated. Because I believe like when you also give these kinds of feedback to your team, they would know like, okay, next time I'm going to do more of this. Or, okay, next time I'm going to do less of this. So it's really important for you to communicate those things as well. It's really hard, especially if you're not used to that kind of communication with other people. And sometimes it's also really annoying because sometimes you think like, oh my gosh, this is so obvious. Do I really have to say this? The answer is yes, you have to say it because what might be obvious for you might not be obvious for your team member. So which goes back to something that I mentioned in number three, that you are not your team member and your team member is not you. Therefore, you can't really expect them to think the same way that you do. You have to tell them. You have to tell them what's going on, what you're thinking, what you're expecting. Yeah. Communication is key. It's hard, but again, like everything else, everything can be learned, right? And of course, practice. Okay, now we're down to number five. And I feel like this doesn't really encompass everything that you need to have like a dream team. These are like the five things that you can start doing if you plan on bringing in more people in your team. But yeah, okay. Number five, and I think this is very important. I've been saying that for the last four, but this is equally as important. Number five is being strict with boundaries, but be generous with trust. Now, I know I'm not the best at setting boundaries, and I love that the people in my team, like sometimes they're the ones who remind me that I need to have stronger sense of boundaries, especially with the clients. Because I'm the type of person, like when the client says or requests for like a fifth or a tenth revision, I'd be like, yeah, sure, we could do that for you. And then the team would be like, nope, we're not doing that for them. So yeah, I love that they also have a strong sense of boundaries, which I end up learning from them. And I'd like to say that I'm a pretty chill, quote-unquote, leader. But the thing that I'm super strict with, or the thing that I really set boundaries with, is deadlines. And that work is work. And the reason why that is very important for me is because everyone in my team originally were my friends. So it's really important to like let them know that I am their friend, but when it comes to work, I have to be strict with the quality. I have to be strict with deadlines, and we can still be friends, but like you just have to perform because this is work or something like that. Yeah. And so far, everything is going well, I would say. Like right now, I would prefer to hire friends as opposed to hiring strangers. If I'm going to hire a stranger, it would have to be a referral because I don't want to go and work with a stranger anymore, mostly because, again, personality matters so much for me. So like sometimes I feel like if I'm hiring a stranger, it takes me a while to really get to know that person, as opposed to if somebody is already my friend or if somebody was referred to me, then yeah, the getting to know you process gets shortened. But then going back to setting boundaries, yes. So the people in my team, most of them originally, well, I think all of them originally are my friends. So my editor is part of my husband's friend group. One of my VAs is my maid of honor. Our copywriter is my college org mate. You get the picture, right? So like we're friends. But then when it comes to deadlines, when it comes to quality, like we really have to set the foot down. And I'd like to think that I'm a chill person. I don't know. Like you have to ask them. But like for me, that's just the importance. Like it's really important to set that. And I feel like for the longest time I've been struggling with that, because as somebody who has worked in corporate, like one of the things that I really wanted for myself as a manager is I don't want to be a terrible manager. So I try so hard to be, you know, like chummy and all that. But in my previous hires, I've also experienced where when you are too friendly, they tend to cross the line. And that's why right now I'm really trying so hard to set these boundaries. But while I set those boundaries, I also make sure that I am generous with trusting them. And what I mean by that is I try so hard not to be a micromanager. I let them do their thing. I let them be the expert in that particular thing that they're doing. So yeah, I trust them. I trust their knowledge. I trust their skills that they can do what they are supposed to do. As long as it's an output that is at par with the quality that we're supposed to provide for our clients, and as long as everything is not overdue, then everything is fine. So yeah, so I think those are the five things that you can consider before you start hiring people in your team, or when you start hiring people on your team. There's still so much more to learn. Like while I was posting something about this on Instagram, there was Coach Susie, who was also a guest on the podcast. She told me something about like a vampire. I forget. But she was saying some stuff about like knowing my stressors or like knowing which parts of the business you can further delegate or something. Because I remembered I was complaining that even if I have team members, I still feel so tired. But later on, I realized that the reason why I was so tired all the time is because of three things. Number one, even if I already have a team, I still find it so hard to let go of certain things. Because even if I trust the team to do what they need to do, there's still this part of me that feels very possessive about certain tasks. And that's something that I need to work on if I want to have more time and more headspace. And the second reason why I feel like I'm so tired all the time is I overcommit. So whenever I delegate a task to a team member, I end up looking for new tasks or looking for more responsibilities. Because sometimes I feel like I just don't deserve free time. And the third one, the reason why I'm so tired all the time, is still about boundaries. I really, really need to work on my boundaries, because sometimes like I have the tendency to be like such a people pleaser. No, I am a people pleaser. And it's so hard to not be a people pleaser. I want everyone to like me. And because of that, I tend to over deliver. And in order for me to over deliver, I work more hours than I should, and I don't sleep, and then I get tired. And I always wonder, why the hell am I not getting enough sleep? And there you go. The reason why I don't get enough sleep is because I don't set boundaries. But yes, we are so far from the main topic, although I think this is still sort of related. But yeah, those are the five things that I think you can start working on if you want to hire team members. And I did say that this was a dream team. And yes, this is a dream team. I feel like we are getting into this groove and we know what each one is supposed to do and we know our place in our little ecosystem. So it took a while before we fell into this groove, and it took several hiring nightmares before we ended up having this dream team. And while there's still so much more rooms to improve, did I say that correctly? But yeah, while there's still so much room to improve, I would say like I'm pretty happy with the team that I have now. And our clients are pretty happy too. So there's that. And I guess like to close this episode, I would say like don't give up. The right person to help you, to understand you, is right there. And sometimes if you can't find the right person, maybe it's about time that you look at yourself. Maybe you're not communicating enough. Maybe you're not patient enough. Maybe pag nagkamali lang ng isang beses, ayaw mo na, you fire that person right away. So that's not really how it goes. And again, as I've mentioned earlier, whenever you feel like frustrated that your team member doesn't get it, try to think about your clients. Imagine, remember all those times where you screwed up, but your clients are just like, okay, we are gonna move forward with this. Yeah, remember those moments. Remember how patient they were with you? Yeah, that's the kind of patience that you need to have for your team members. And again, nothing good ever comes easy. So yeah, if you found this episode helpful, let me know. There's a engagement poll thingy in Spotify. Please go answer that if you want to. And if you know somebody who is in need of this message, then feel free to share this episode. And if there's something that you want me to talk about in the podcast in the future, or if there's somebody whom you want me to invite in the podcast, please let me know, because we are looking for more guests on the podcast. And yeah, that's it for this episode. I hope you learned something from this. I hope I didn't ramble too much, because this is the first episode where I didn't have a script. So yeah, that is all, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye. Thanks again for listening to Spill the Creativity Podcast. If you like this episode, I would really appreciate it if you can give me a 5-star rating on Spotify and a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. Or you can also take a screenshot and tag me on Instagram at Spill the Creativity Podcast, and you can also try the special filters if you want. Thanks again for listening to this episode, and make sure to catch fresh drops every Thursday morning. Bye!